This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. I am turning on the heat because... Oh, that's too much. Maybe I'll go there. Because it's winter here. We had predicted that we were going to have some precipitation, and sure enough, we have had precipitation, and things are a little weird here inside the car, because I actually have three layers of jackets on, and I have my earmuffs on, and then I have my hat on, and then I have my hoodie on, so I can't really hear myself like I normally do, and this is... I may just run out of things to say and have to stop talking at some point, because I suspect instead of 20 minutes that it's going to take me, oh, maybe an hour to get home. Because I realize this isn't a lot of snow for most places. But for here, in our little Missouri town in Springfield, we've gotten kind of a glaze of ice on the roads. And then on top of that, we've had a couple inches of snow. And so things are a little slick. And the trucks, I don't know if they've been out yet plowing and salting like you get in bigger cities. So I'm just going to mosey home tonight. Not necessarily going to be trying to break any speed records. So, you know, if I happen to run off the road or if someone runs into me on the way home, well, it'll be a good podcast. Hopefully it'll be a good podcast anyways, but whatever good is. Anyways, this week... it's been a good week. Been able to get some things accomplished that needed to be accomplished. And I'm in a little bit of a crush for time. But that's okay. Everything's going to get done. I've pretty much decided that I am not going to set a December deadline ever again for beta readers. Because it's just too hard. It was especially too hard this year because Thanksgiving fell so late. And so it, for people that thought, well, I'll just wait and after Thanksgiving I'll go ahead and attack it. Well, the problem was, is after Thanksgiving was the 1st of December. So, I mean, that was the deadline. And so out of my 40... beta readers or so, I think I've only heard back from about 10, which is low. I'm usually well over half of people getting back with me. So either they hate the book, or everyone's just gotten really, really busy, which I tend to think it's probably the second reason. Because those who have gotten back with me have been complimentary and they've enjoyed the book, so that's cool. In terms of the tutorials that I'm working on in Photoshop, that's all going fine. How shall we put this? I have been accused of cheating twice now, because when Iona... Karis Ionet, who is an excellent Photoshop, I mean, he's just excellent. He really knows what he's doing in Photoshop. Twice now, during the first one that I sent him, and then in the last one that I sent him, he came back and said, well, I looked at your Photoshop file, and, you know, I looked at the histogram, and the histogram's the same, and I looked at your stuff and the size and the shapes of the links and on the chains, and everything's the same. This is like 95% of my work. And he said, you're not doing your own work. And I had to write back and say, yes, really, I am. And I told him the first time that he said, well, you're just copying the work out of my Photoshop files. The first time that he wrote me and told me that. I said, listen, it's no problem. Next time you send me a tutorial, don't send me your Photoshop file. Just send me the demos and the raw JPEGs, and I'll build my own Photoshop file. But he kept sending me the Photoshop files, so this last time, the fourth demo, I got the same kind of response from him, and I wrote back, and I said, well, I said, after I sent the third one in, you said I should be more careful on the detail work. And so I said, honestly, I started your demo, and every time there was a setting that you set, I paused the demo and went, set that. If you picked a color, I paused the demo, picked that color. What I didn't tell him is even on the warping stuff, where you take a picture and then you stretch it out and you bend it and do all these really interesting things with it in Photoshop. Even on that, what I did was, as soon as he'd click and start warping, I would pause it and say, okay, he clicked there, he drug it over to here. And then as you're warping stuff, you actually get a readout. It puts up a grid so you can see how much is being warped on this grid. And I would just pause it until the grid, you know, and then start rinking around with mine until my grid looked like his grid. So yeah, it's going to look very, very similar. And, you know, so I told him at that point, I said, you know, I'm a computer programmer. I'm very detail oriented. And I said, I just keep pausing your demos and going through it a piece at a time, a piece at a time, a piece at a time until I've got it matched. And I said, so that's why it looks so similar to your stuff. And so then he was saying, well, you know, it looks like you don't need my help anymore. You're ready to go. And I wrote back. I said, no, no, I absolutely need your help. I said, I couldn't do this without you. And at one point he said something about, because I just don't want you doing these tutorials just like a robot. I want you to be using your mind as well. And I wrote back and I said, well, but I am a robot at this point. I said, because I have no idea how to do this stuff. And so I'm just going through the tutorials to where I can learn how to do them. And that way, I'll have plenty of practice. So then he wrote back. He said, oh, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. So I've got the next one. But finally, on this one, when he wrote back, he said, okay, so I sent them and I didn't put them in the PSD. I want to see how you do. I said, okay, that's fine. Unfortunately, I'm supposed to be working on Amanda and the Cog Shifting Imp, doing all the edits for that. Because I've been getting back to him fairly rapidly with these, you know, within 2 or 3 days of him sending them to me. And so then I had to explain, like, okay, well, you know, please understand, which I did, you know, the first time I wrote him on this, I said, I'm going to have some work to do coming up. And I said, so it's going to take me a little while to get that work done, but then I am going to get back to this. And so I tried to remind him of that again, so it wouldn't be like, oh yeah, great, so now I don't send him the PSD, so all of a sudden it takes him 3 weeks to get one. So we'll see. It should be fun. I've done enough of this stuff now that, you know, as I'm looking at it, I can kind of look at it and go, oh, okay, so we're doing this there, we're doing this there, we're doing that there, you know. And so I think it's going to be okay. I'm hoping, I'm looking, because my windshield is not getting really warm enough in one spot, because I have this holder that's made out of foam rubber that I hold the digital recorder in. And it's kind of blocking the air that's blowing up. I'm going to move the recorder a little bit. I don't think that's going to make any difference. To get more air. So I'm just going to turn up the air so it gets warmer in the car. So that my windshield stays warmer. So that I don't get iced up here as we go. Anyway, so that's going fine. It's just going fine. It's very enjoyable. I'm really at least going through a lot of the paces of stuff in Photoshop. And it's really just amazing. It's so amazing what you can do with that tool. And it's changing how I think about expressing myself visually. And when you write, you think a lot about words and the way words fit together and pacing and plot development and characterizations and those kind of things. And that it becomes your vocabulary for how you express the concepts that you're trying to get across. And I've been telling my friends this week that with these covers, I'm going to have to develop an entirely new vocabulary. I'm going to have to develop a visual vocabulary as opposed to an oral, well, not oral vocabulary, but a regular word vocabulary. And I'm going to have to figure out how to express things in pictures. It's going to be really interesting. It's just going to be very, very interesting because it's an entirely different way of going about this. And so I think I mentioned last week that I've ordered a camera. It's supposed to be in on Saturday, and some parts are still coming in for it, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so that's going to be interesting. I'll have a hold of that maybe by the weekend. But I noticed that even today,
excuse me,
when I was taking a little think break here and there, noticed that even today, as I've been thinking about the covers, I've been thinking more visually about the covers. You know, like for instance, I've got, I think one of the parables as I'm working on is the parable of the weeds and the wheat, where Jesus tells this parable that a farmer went out and he planted in a field, and at night an enemy came and scattered weeds into the field. And when the workers came the next day and, you know, they saw the weeds sprouting up, well, and a couple of days later, whatever, they said, an enemy has done this. Shall we go in and pull up the weeds? And Jesus says, no. Or the farmer says, no, just let them grow together. And when we go to harvest, then we'll cut everything down and we'll pick it apart at that point. Which there's some interesting stuff that's connected with that idea about picking out weeds. Need to start my windshield wipers again here, so big noise. But, you know, where I was just thinking about originally having this static field with some weeds in it and some good crop in it, you know, now I'm thinking about, I wonder if there's a way I can find a picture of some kind of dark figure at night, you know, with lightning flashes and him flinging his arm out, and then do some kind of, get like a brush or something that can allow me to do a scatter pattern with seeds and, you know, whip that around to where it's coming to the perspective of the viewer. And so I'm just now starting to think in terms of pictures that will have a deeper emotive content than just sort of a kind of a static collage. And it's going to be interesting to see how that develops the farther I get into this. Because it's going to be talking in a different kind of language, and I've always loved the visual language and loved the visual arts, but I've never really been that good at drawing. It just wasn't something that I had applied myself to, because there's only so many things you can do in life. And so I've been very blessed to have some success in the things that I have chosen to do in life, and that wasn't one of them. But with Photoshop and with real life images and the, all the manipulations you can do with them, it's really cool. I mean, it's really, really cool. And I'm so grateful that I actually stumbled across / listened to the whisper, you know, of Jesus pointing me in the direction of coming across this guy and the fact that he had this challenge. And, you know, I've been able to take some time to kind of study this and get this a little more under my belt. It's going to be interesting when I actually try for the first time to build a cover from scratch using these principles. And it's going to be fascinating. And that, you know, it's a little intimidating thinking of having to do that, because visual arts have never been my forte. But by the same token, I've done okay on the covers that I've done for my own books. And, you know, I've done okay on the covers that I've whipped together for my dad's books. And so it's not like I don't have any experience in the visual arts. So we'll say it's fun. It's fun. In all honesty, and by the way, I am just now reaching the halfway point to get back home. So I wasn't really watching the clock, but excuse me. Woo! One more time. Okay. I wasn't really watching the clock, but that first part of it wasn't too bad in terms of speed. Of course, the first part of it is normally driving in the city where you're only doing about 40 miles an hour anyways. And so I've been doing about 25. So, you know, it ended up only taking me 16 minutes or so out of a normal 8 or 9. This next part is where I usually drive 55. So we'll see. Like I said, if I run out of things to say, I'll just quit. But to tell the truth of the matter, I had sort of had an idea of what I wanted to talk about today. And then last night I got distracted and I got busy. And it was month-end close, so I was kind of thinking about that, and I thought I had everything done. And instead of having everything done, which I didn't, I went to bed, and then I got up this morning and promptly saw the recorder on the floor and went, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be doing a podcast today. So I'm just winging it today. But what brought this up is I was having a conversation with a friend, and we were just talking about this, that, and the other, and that friend was having a conversation about another friend with me, who their friend is really on a quest to kind of figure out some things in life and set some patterns in life and move forward in life. But that friend's current goal in life is simply to be famous. That's what this person wants in life, to be famous. And I was thinking about that, and I've had a couple of conversations this week with friends about this, that, and the other, and I just had a conversation with a friend this morning, and at one point we got on the topic of success. What does success look like? And it's really interesting to me how we often get so led astray as to what success should look like. And it's really easy to be pulled in to ideas that if we could just get this or just get that, then everything would be great. When in fact, it's not those things at all that make life fulfilling. I think I mentioned last week that I would be having a meeting this week, that potentially there would be a new large project that's opening up, and I might be asked to help with that. I did have that meeting today. The meeting went very well. You know, we talked about philosophical approaches, and we talked about managing the political dynamic, and I was just very upfront with him, and I said, you know, I basically just do the same thing over and over and over again. And I need to just share my philosophy with you as to what I would like to see happen here, and you know, if it lines up with your philosophy, then great. You know, that's what we'll do. And if it doesn't, you know, maybe I'm not the guy for you. So I went through and, you know, shared my philosophy with all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they responded very favorably. You know, they said, that's exactly what we're thinking. That's what we want to do. And I said, great. You know, then we can move forward. And we had a good meeting. You know, it was a very, I felt like, productive meeting. We know what the next steps are now that we're going to take. And I have, you know, brought a little homework out of that. And, you know, it's going to be, I think, a really interesting project. You know, I was very upfront with them and said, I have to tell you that this project fills me with trepidation. And they said, us too. This is like the head of this division. And I said, you know, I see the bones of prior consultants littered up and down these halls when I see the systems that you're using now and the good intentions that went into building those systems and designing those systems. And yet, you know, they haven't had care and feeding for a while, and now they're turning into problems for you and causing pain for you. And I said, I hate to think that any of my systems would ever get to that point. And I said, I look at this project, and it's such a massive, massive project. And I realized there's just so many places that this could go wrong. But I said, you know, I will do what I always try to do. And that is, you know, when I'm out in the desert like this, I just start looking for the cloud and start trying to figure out where the pillar of fire is. And then just try to start following it and figuring out stuff as we go. How is this going to work? And in terms of success, you know, with projects like that, I really don't measure success in how long does the project take or how much does it cost. I try to bring things in on time and not too far over budget, yada yada. But I expressed to them that my goal for projects like this is that when it's done, there has been a substantial improvement in the lives of the people who are working in those offices. And I shared a story with them that when I was working on the cash receipts system for my major client years ago, that I had one of the workers come to me that first Christmas afterwards. And she said, you know, last year at this time, we had boxes and boxes and boxes of stuff stacked up. And I didn't know how we were ever going to get through all of it. And she said, this year we've still got some boxes stacked up. But she said, I look at it and think, yeah, we can do this. We can get this work done. And she said, it's just awesome. And I said, great. I said, that's what we're looking for. And I can honestly say that the atmosphere is different in that department now. They still work hard. They still, you know, push they still, you know, have plenty of things to challenge their day, but the atmosphere is different. You know, they've come to depend on the tool that I built for them, and the tool functions. They know how to make the tool work, and they know how to get their job done. And to me, that's success. It's not how much money I made off the project. It's that I was able to positively impact their work experience and make it better. And I, you know, I shared that idea of positively impacting people's work experience with the team I met with today, and they were saying, absolutely, that's what we're looking for. And so it's going to be interesting. Afterwards, I shared with one of my bosses in the IT department, you know, there was a discussion of drawing up perhaps a new contract, and in that, whenever you're starting to draw up a new contract, there's always a consideration of rates, and, you know, and I've worked with really great people. I mean, I've worked with really great people, and, you know, he made a comment that he was mindful of the fact that they haven't changed my rate in 15 years. And I said, yeah, that's fine. And, you know, I told him at that point, I don't really need more money. I need more time. But I said, I don't really need more money. I had mentioned to him the fact that I had read some statistics that said once you get really up to a certain level of income, unless you just are flagrant with it and throw it away, that once you get up to that level of income, adding more income does not necessarily add more satisfaction in life. And he smiled, nodded, and he said, that's very true. And, you know, because I don't measure success in terms of how much I get paid. I measure success in what we're able to accomplish and what those solutions, how they work out in people's lives. And I was talking to a friend this morning, and he's in the crux of a huge decision. And we got on this topic of success as well there. You know, and I mentioned to him again that I don't really see success as how much money I make or how big of a house I have or the car I drive or any of those kind of things. And I said, for me, ultimately, and I've said this before, ultimately, my measurement of success is I want to profoundly affect the lives of 12 people in this life. And if I can do that, I'm happy. You know, I'm good. And I think, you know, that's going to get done. I don't think I'm done impacting the lives of people. But I think I've learned enough now that I can. Oh, someone's passing me because I'm going too slow. Take it, buddy. Passing me on a double yellow. He wants to get home faster. I think I can. I have enough of a tool set now that I can pretty much get to know anyone and offer them something that will enhance and impact their life for the better. Which is cool. I love being in that position. I had another friend that wrote me, and he had been talking to a husband who was having some trouble in his marriage. And, you know, he said, I know you and Lynette have helped people, and he said, you know, is there any way that you could make some time to talk to him? And I apologized. I said, well, it would have to be after the first of the year. I said, but after the first of the year, I'm, you know, more than happy to do that. And going into those kinds of discussions, I basically know already the types of things that I'm going to talk about. And I think, you know, that's like really cool. When I was talking to my friend about the other friend who just wanted to be famous, my friend mentioned Ashton Kutcher? I don't know. Anyways. And said, have you seen his speech? And I said, no. And his friend said, well, you know, you should go on YouTube and look for Ashton Kutcher and Ellen, and they talk about it. And so I did and listened to it. But then I went back to the source, which was his speech at the Teen Awards 2013 or something. And he'd gotten some kind of lifetime achievement, something or other award. And he made a very, very interesting speech. You know, he got up and he kind of started, and of course all the girls are screaming and, you know, that kind of stuff. And he started by saying that he feels like he's a little bit of a fraud because there's all these kind of inside secrets in Hollywood about how you maintain your fame and keep things moving forward in your career. And he said, you know, honestly, he said, my name is not Ashton. He said, that's my middle name. He said, but I was Chris for the first 19 years of my life. And he said, and the only reason I changed my name to Ashton was because, you know, everyone thought it maybe it would be better for my career. And he said, what I'd like to do is, he said, I'd like to talk to you all today about the things that I think I've learned being Chris, not Ashton. And he went on to make really a phenomenally good speech about just basic stuff. And, you know, the first thing he talked about, if I remember correctly, was opportunity. And he talked about how opportunity really just looks like hard work. And he talked about the fact that he had his first job when he was 13, carrying shingles up onto a roof with his dad. Okay, I'm getting my mail, and it looks like I might have a package below. Do I? No. My packages are supposed to be starting to come in here at some point for my camera, but not today. He talked about the fact that he started working with his father when he was 13, and then, you know, after he finished with that job, then he got another job somewhere doing something else. He got another job where he was sweeping Cheerio dust off the floor of a factory, and he got another job doing this, and got another job doing that. You know, and how he never walked away from one job until he had another job, and, you know, the things that he learned there, that how important it was to have those jobs and to do those jobs and to learn that discipline of hard work, and how that opportunity is really about that type of exercise. And he talks about the privilege it is for him to work with a lot of young entrepreneurs now. And how he said, I work with these young people, and he said, they work hard. I'm backing into my garage. Yay! So I'm almost home. He said, they work really hard, and he said, and they're good people. And, oops, that's not right. I can't quite see out of my back window because it has frosted up. So we're going to try this again. I may have to get out and actually clean off the back window so I can see. Hopefully I won't drive into. No, that side looks okay. That side looks okay. Come on, puppy.
There we go.
Okay, now I just need to get backed into here. I'm back into my garage because... Whoa, okay, that's not working. You know what? I may have to just park head in. Do something different today. Woo, slow down, Phil. Slow down. Maybe you're gonna make it. Oop, oop. Haven't hit anything yet. Anyways, what was I saying? Oh yeah, hard work and blah 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 blah. He said he works with these entrepreneurs, and he said they are all working hard. He said they work incredibly hard, but he said they're all generous people, good people. He said I really really enjoy working with them. And then he talked about being sexy, and he said this is the truth. He said the sexiest person in the world is the person who's smart and who's generous and thoughtful, I think was the other one. And he said the rest of it, he said all the other stuff that's sold as being sexy, he said that's just crap. Like, good for you, buddy. Good for you. And what was the final thing that he talked about? I can't remember. I don't have any notes. But it was a really, really good speech. If you haven't seen it, I would recommend that you hop on YouTube and that you put in Ashton Kutcher Teen Award speech, and you'll see it in there. It's good. It's good. I'm a little tired because I finally made it home, and you're probably tired of listening to me. So I'm just going to close this up and be done. Seems like there was one thing that I wanted to mention from last week, but I know what it is, but we can talk about that later. Anyways, this is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.